right now by Noah Brandt, who is Director of Government Affairs at Live Action. And I'll explain why we're having a conversation. I think when Noah and I ask you to introduce who you are and what you do and what your organization does, it'll become pretty clear. But so, Noah, we're going to have a conversation. Before that, just tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about Live Action.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on here, Jim. You know, I'm Noah Brandt. I run government affairs at Live Action. Live Action is a human rights group. We do media and advocacy. We create amazing videos surrounding the human right to life from the beginning to the end. You know, one of our greatest resources that I'd love everybody to watch, it's called Baby Olivia. It's the most realistic depiction animated of life in the womb from fertilization, right when we begin existing, until 9 months when we're ready to come out of our mother. So if you just go on YouTube and type in Baby Olivia, you'll see that. But we also work in states across the country to help protect life.
Okay, great. And where are you located out of? Like, where are you talking to me from right now?
Yeah, so I actually live in St. Louis, Missouri, right in the middle of the country. But I travel to Washington, D.C. a lot. And a lot of our leadership, like our lead president, Lila Rose, lives out in California. So we have people all over the country fighting this battle.
Great. So you're a big organization. You're not just some little storefront down the street. I'm not, there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, you're in the fight. You're out there on the forefront. And, I mean, I'll tell you how you came to my attention is, last week, I'm scrolling through Instagram and a pastor friend of mine down in Texas, Matt Chandler at Village Church, he had posted on his story, something that you had posted, that Live Action had posted about a bill that was being considered in Maryland, it just got my attention because it was, And I'm picking up that there's a lot of fear in the pro-choice movement about the possibility of Roe versus Wade being reduced or reversed in some way this summer. And so a lot of states are shoring up there. We want to make sure that no matter what the feds do, that our state rights cement that abortion will always be, just don't mess with it in our state. And so that was happening in Maryland. And I remember reposting that and saying, you know, pray about this, but it's a matter of time. Colorado seems to be one of the leaders in our country of going, we'll go first to push the limits. We've done it on marriage. We've done it on gender. We've done it on, you know, pot. We've done it on a lot of things.
And Colorado already, right, is an abortion hub for the whole country. People, especially for late term abortion, fly in to Colorado. Yeah.
Up to 40 weeks, up to full term. Yeah. It's not, I wouldn't say it's common, but it's legal and it is present here.
There's about 175 late term abortions, which is after 24 weeks, that happen in Colorado every year. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's not nothing. That's a big number.
I'm certainly not minimizing that. Just the very fact that it's here it's really disheartening. So I reposted that and then realized that 2 days later, I realized that bill was being debated in the Colorado Senate and House. And by the time I got aware of it, it had already passed the House and it was before the Senate. And when I posted that, I actually said, hey, contact. And this went over great about the, hey, you're violating church and state. I heard a few hundred people tell me that I was way out of my lane, which I don't want to get into that because I'm just not going to have that debate because it's just unfounded. And you and I probably are very, very, very similar on that. But by the time I actually posted and said, hey, contact, here's the link to all of our senators. And I made sure, Noah, that it wasn't, hey, contact your Democrats because.
No, of course.
But the vote so far has been directly around House lines. I even went so far this because I'm just trying to, like, at this point in the game, I don't, and I hope you'll trust my heart in this. I said, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, listen, that's not what I want to debate right now. Both sides of this have got to be on the side of this one's too far, right? You know, right? This goes beyond like sanity. Okay. And then of course, when you read the bill at Colorado and now it's already passed, I believe, the House and the Senate, and it's just waiting on Governor Polis's signature, which I've already been told he will sign, but he will also hear from several thousand people in the faith community that this is not okay in Colorado. This is the first time I've really forayed into, I have such a heart for, no, this is what I told myself. I have such a heart for wounded people who've been wounded by abortion that it's like I want to make sure that they're not going to assume what a lot they assume about what they're going to find in the faith community if they have been, this has been a part of their life. And so I've kind of shied away from it, not because I'm not pro-life. I totally am. But because I have such sensitivity for the people that abortion has wounded.
You don't want to hurt people. You know, right. People come to faith leaders and come to church, you know, for healing and acceptance. And I am completely with you. Yeah. If someone's had an abortion, experienced that we don't want to turn them away. We want to welcome them.
Absolutely. So that was my heart. But this one got my attention. And I said, I can't be silent on this anymore. And so I spoke up. So the bill has some language in there that it's different than the Maryland thing, but it does. Basically, I just need you to help me explain myself better because you're the expert in this. So the Reproductive Health Equity Act that's being passed in Colorado, tell me what the heart of that is and why this is so concerning or ought to be so concerning to residents of Colorado.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Well, you know, I think that there's three fundamental parts of the bill that we should look at because at the end of the day, I'm not interested in misleading anybody. We should just look at the text of the bill, right? That's online. That's what they debated. We elect, the state representatives, state senators, and the governor. They're accountable to the people, and we can look at this text that they're talking about. So let's read these three sections and sort of analyze it, right? Good. So here's the first part. A pregnant individual. And that's always interesting to me, right? They've erased the word mother from this bill. So there's no mothers anymore. There's only pregnant individuals.
Right.
A pregnant individual has a fundamental right to continue a pregnancy and to give birth or to have an abortion and to make decisions about how to exercise that right. So labeling abortion as a fundamental right on par with things like the right to free speech, the right to religion, right? The right to make these decisions about our life that animate how we live. Is extremely challenging because abortion, it's not like those other things. Abortion is not an expression of personal autonomy. Science conclusively shows us that, preborn people are human beings. And even if you want to say, right, if you want to draw an arbitrary standard of when someone becomes a human being, if you want to say it's at 50, it's at 6 weeks when they get a heartbeat, or it's at 20 weeks when they can feel pain. I mean, what is your standard that it's literally the moment of birth that confers humanity? Because that's what this bill is enshrining into law, is that you have a fundamental, which means it's very challenging for any legislator or court to restrict. You have a fundamental right to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And that's extremely dangerous. So the second part that we want to look at.
Okay, no, let me come in a real quick question. But that already exists and is enshrined in Colorado. This is already in place here, right up to delivery. You can in Colorado, you can abort for any and every reason, right? Am I correct there?
So the big difference is this is labeling it in Colorado law a fundamental right, which makes it more challenging to restrict abortion or protect life further down the road. So I think it's an important distinction. It's not adding it to the Colorado Constitution, but it's calling it a fundamental right in state law.
Okay, so that's the first big change. We're identifying abortion or the right to abortion as a fundamental right on par with the First Amendment, basically.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Okay. On par to other things that we would call fundamental right in Colorado, which would be things like the right to bear arms, the right to free speech, the right to go to church and worship. Mm-hmm. So the second part, and we'll get to the hardest and worst part third, but the second part's also very important. Here's directly from the text. A fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent or derivative rights under the laws of this state. Now, all of those words, fertilized egg, embryo, and fetus, they're all synonyms for just a stage of human development. We were all once a fertilized egg, an embryo, or a fetus. We are all once a preborn child. That would be like saying, put in another class of people there. You could put in elderly or geriatrics or teenagers, saying these people don't have independent rights. It's extremely scary. It also puts in jeopardy any sort of fetal homicide laws, right? To where, say, you're a driver and you hit my pregnant wife and you kill my wife and my unborn child. Under this law now, there could be no charges for the homicide of my preborn child because that child can have no independent rights. So that's
In court, an attorney would point to this, saying he might have injured that woman, but we're not accountable at all for the fertilized embryo inside of her. That's just something else.
It's said directly that fetus does not have independent or derivative rights under the laws of the state, which that means that harming that thing can't have, and I even hate calling it a thing, but harming that, whatever you want to call it, the embryo, the little person, that there can be no penalties for that.
Very good. Okay.
And then, you know, finally, the worst part of this bill, Jim, which I'm sure you've heard about and talked about. You ready? Can I read that final part?
Please do.
Yeah. A public entity shall not deprive an individual of the individual's right to act or refrain from acting during their individual's own pregnancy based on the potential, actual, or perceived impact of on the pregnancy, the pregnancy's outcomes, or on the pregnant individual's health. So that was sort of a lot of words there, but it says that the state cannot violate the state cannot deprive an individual's right to act or refrain from acting. And the scary part here, Jim, is that means that we already talked about that Colorado does a lot of late-term abortions, right? And a child can survive outside the womb at about 21 weeks. So if you're aborting a child at anywhere after that, 22 weeks, 28 weeks, which these are all happening in Colorado, the way that you do an abortion, it's called a induction and dilation abortion, where it's an extremely gruesome procedure where if you do it properly, you're ripping the child apart and crushing its skull. But what can happen there accidentally from the abortionist perspective is the baby can be delivered if the baby is that developed. And what this is saying is that you can't penalize someone from refraining from acting, is that if a child was accidentally delivered alive, born alive during an abortion, that doctor and that family would not have any legal impetus to provide them standard medical care so the baby could survive. So now we're not talking hypothetically about a potential life or a fetus. We're talking about a baby that has been born. And if you gave them standard medical care, they would survive in the world just like you or I.
So define public entity. Who would that include? Would that include doctors? Would that include a mother having the baby at home? Who would that include that can't be held accountable for anything?
So it says a public entity shall not deprive. So pretty much that would be any government. That would be any doctor. So even say you're in a situation where an abortionist, and these are all hard situations to talk about, right? But an abortionist is attempting an abortion, but a child is delivered alive. If the mother's will or the pregnant person's will, right, because this bill doesn't acknowledge that mothers exist, if the pregnant person's will is that this child does not receive medical care, then that child would be left to die because these entities are not allowed to interfere with the decision that someone has made with their own pregnancy. And someone might say, like, this would never happen. This is extreme. But Jim, we know people are born alive during abortions. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ever get in someone's head and say that no one would make this choice. I don't like to think that anyone would. But isn't it just such a basic condition of the law that we want to say that a baby born alive is mandated basic medical care to try to ensure their survival? That's all we're talking about.
So no, you're talking about what comes to mind because we're talking about the pro-life, pro-choice community. But so we're talking about a botched abortion or something like that. So one of the things that I've been questioning on is because I made a strong statement that says a baby born alive could be murdered. All right. Left to die.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And which by definition, the withholding care, and I can throw you a bunch of Bible verses, Book of James. You see somebody in need and does nothing about it. You can pray for them all you want, but does nothing about their needs. It's dead faith. I've got Bible verses to pick that up. Okay, so we're talking about a botched abortion, but why is that the line? So let's say that you have a pregnant individual. I'm just going to throw that out. You have a mom who, in a panic, delivers her baby right. Or whatever, and at that point, when that baby is now in front of her, it's severely handicapped. It's found to have Down syndrome or something like that. They're looking at this newly delivered baby, which is imperfect. Does this law allow disposal, either through neglect, or does it open the door to even intentional? Infanticide, euthanasia, does this law, because of the way it's worded, does this leave a door open to this born baby, whether botched abortion or full term or miscarriage or whatever? I'm now looking at a baby and I don't think I want this kind of baby. Legally now, what are my obligations to this baby?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the deal, Jim, right? at the end of the day, laws that are written this broadly, it's on purpose. When they're writing this section extremely broadly, that saying that a mother has such a wide latitude of what they can or can't do with their pregnancy outcome. And a pregnancy outcome, right? I mean, there's two natural outcomes to a pregnancy: a live birth, a miscarriage, and then the third one is an induced miscarriage, which is an abortion, the intentional killing of a child. And so when we're talking about outcome, we're talking about a birth, right?
Well, outcome, a pregnancy outcome is either a dead child or a live child.
Exactly.
Something's coming out.
Yes, and if a baby is naturally miscarried, that's not the mother's fault in any way whatsoever, but it's still a dead child, right? It's a child who is no longer with us. And I think an attorney absolutely could argue that a mother in the immediate moments after pregnancy does not have an obligation to provide care. And now I think there is an interesting question. There's a line, right, that there might be a difference between, this is horrible to say, between like throwing a baby in a dumpster and just not providing life-saving medical care. I think you'd have a better case under this law of trying to prosecute someone who throws the baby in the dumpster. But like you said, not providing basic medical care. And this is, it doesn't even always have to be what we call extraordinary medical care, but just basic medical care. You know what I mean? And ensuring that we do the same thing for them that we do for every child who is born and wanted. Because, you know, your wantedness doesn't define your humanness or your
absolutely
how deserving you are of basic human rights. And the other thing that this law does is there aren't that many pro-life protections in Colorado as it is, but it wipes them away. You do have a parental notification law, and the most likely the way this law will be interpreted and enacted is that even that law goes away, that saying that a minor who is seeking an abortion, that law would go away because of the fundamental right stature that this law would confer on getting an abortion. So I guess my question would be to people who support this law, is, when does a baby become a human? Like, when does this fetus or embryo or thing inside of a pregnant person, when do they become deserving of human rights? Because if you're saying that they don't have human rights the minute before they're born, and they're also really saying they don't have human rights the minute after they're born, when do they get them? When do they become like you and I? And when do they become protected?
All right. So, Noah, I want to watch our time here, but a couple of things. First of all, I can sit and look eye to eye to the person going who wants to deflect the conversation to, oh, are you willing to look for universal health care for these babies? And are you willing to this? That's a side issue. To me, it's a deflection issue. We're talking about the personhood of this child. Okay. So both sides, nobody seems to be listening anymore. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And what I'm about to ask you is going to get a lot of people to hit stop and they're going to move on. So I know this is a loaded question, right? What we already have abortion up to 40 weeks in Colorado. Okay. What do you think is actually driving this? What is it trying to secure for the future? All right. What's it not saying that is now possible that we need to pay attention to before we go, oh, well, I didn't know it meant that too.
In a nutshell. That's a great question. I mean,
like five questions in there. Sorry.
Yeah, a law like this is a black hole in a lot of ways, Jim, because it's wiping away any protections in text, even if they weren't in practice. It's wiping them away, and it's giving such full latitude to unscrupulous doctors, to an abortion industry that really doesn't care about patients and cares about money first and foremost. And it makes it even to where the problem is, like, even investigations into a potential crime against a born child or a mother will become very challenging under this law. So even if there's a child who is born and there's a record of his or her birth, and then he or she dies in a mysterious manner, it will become extremely hard to investigate if a crime happened. And even if something, it's like, I'm sympathetic to people who say, well, it would still be a crime to intentionally kill, you know, a born child. But since there is so much ambiguity here, and that word refrain, that a pregnant person can refrain from acting and face no penalty, because that refraining from acting, Jim, is just an exercise of her now fundamental right in the state of Colorado, it opens up a Pandora's box, and it opens up, right, where you're looking years down the road at, I honestly think you're looking at a regime where life is so devalued that anyone that they can consider inhuman, maybe because they're not fully thinking or they're not physically perfect when they're born, could be left to die, could be left without the right to care. And at the end of the day, Jim, when we're thinking about not just the church, but what a government should be doing, mm-hmm. we should be offering the most protection to those in need, the most protection for those without a voice, you know? And like, who is more helpless than a baby? And even go even further than that, who is more helpless than maybe a disabled baby or baby mm-hmm. born with defects? And those are the children who are going to be targeted harshest and first with laws like these.
Yeah. Yeah. What I see is the defining word for whatever this thing is if it's wanted or not, or convenient yeah. or not, or if it's going to cost me more money than it's worth, be that elderly, be that disability, be that expensive, whatever that mm. is. And so now I have a card I can play going, I've got a law that backs me up that I don't have to take care of it.
And it's just, and that the key is, and we will see that that's the way these expansive and vague laws work. This law will be tried, will go to court in different ways. People will use it as a defense. There'll be times when the law rules in their favor and rules against them. But this will have a chilling effect in pursuing defense and pursuing justice when it might even be necessary or legal under the law to pursue it for these children who are born or these mothers who face, an abortion industry that doesn't care about them. I mean, that's the truth. The abortion industry does not care about mothers. They care about making money, and the product they sell to make money is the violence of abortion.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so there's some confusion. I got two questions left. And one is, so the number 28 days was mentioned in Maryland. It's not mentioned in the Colorado. Where does that 28 days come from?
Yeah.
Not in my post, but I've seen it in other places.
Yeah. So there was a bill similar in scope to this, right? Enshrining abortion as a fundamental right, removing any independent right of an unborn child, and saying that a pregnant person has the right to refrain from acting during pregnancy. So it covered all those three things that is being debated still in Maryland. I think it's passed one house of their legislature and is still working through the other. And the key there is that piece of legislation had the word perinatal in it. So not prenatal or postnatal, perinatal, P-E-R-I, perinatal. And it said that women have the same rights in the perinatal period that they do in the prenatal period. But okay. The problem is perinatal covers children who are up to 28 days old. It pretty much covers the month before birth and the month after birth. So all these things they're saying about the right to end the life of your child, they said that extended to the perinatal period. So that extended 28 days. Now, the drafter of that, once this was went mainstream and people were upset, obviously, about it. He said that that was a mistake in drafting. Was it? I don't know, but they say they're going to remove it. We'll see if they do.
Okay. All right. So there's no mention of that in the Colorado at all.
Correct. That perinatal word does not appear.
Okay. So last question, and Noah, thanks so much. This brings such clarity.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate it. My last question is this. So when I posted this on social media, I got a lot of comments, but the overwhelming response was an emoji of a face with a tear, which is like, that's almost like, it's really sad the way our world's
gone.
What
can you do?
Yeah. Right. What can you do? So I'm in Colorado right now. It's passed our house. It's passed our Senate. And my governor is probably going to sign it. Okay.
Yeah.
And the response of the faith community is, well, we could pray about it, which I'm all for. I'm not certainly not, dissing that at all. But at this point in the game, right. Because I don't ever want to go, well, that ship has sailed, or we're too late to the game, which is part of my conviction about this is I feel like I'm really, really late to the game in this. But like at this point, what can residents, citizens of Colorado or any state do when it feels like it's done and I don't have a voice? Is the answer wait till the next election and vote new people in who will change the law? Is that even possible at this point? What is left for the citizen, Christian or a pro-life or pro-choice that goes, this one's out of bounds. Okay. What are our options as citizens?
Yeah. I mean, it's so important, and it's so important. I just say to everybody, never despair, never despair. Things change, things can change, and things do change. Even in states or communities where it seems like one side is so entrenched, things change. On this directly, if somebody's listening close to our conversation, call and email the governor's office, Governor Polis. These people, whether they're your state senator, state representative, or governor, they are accountable to the voters. You know what I mean? We right. don't live in Russia. We live in the United States of America. And these, you know, there's this concept of the democratic will. You know, what do the people think? And even if the governor wants to sign this and thinks he should sign this, if he gets thousands or tens of thousands of messages from constituents, that, I mean, people, let me tell you, politicians don't usually hear from that many people. They don't. Okay. Most people don't care. Most people are apathetic. So
that's
if
good
you,
to know right there.
Yeah. If you choose to care, it makes such a difference. And then the second thing I'd say is especially the faith community, is we need to be on the sidewalks helping women, talking to pregnant mothers. And we need to be, as a church and as people who care about other people, providing resources, you know, having pregnancy help and providing material resources, because the number one reason that people get abortions from early to late, right, even these extremely late term abortions, is something happens in their life where they feel like they cannot do it. They feel right. scared. They feel like they can't raise a child. They feel like a partner left them, or they lost a job, or they've incurred debt. And we need to ensure they know they won't walk alone, because when people feel like they're walking alone, that's when they choose abortion. That's when they choose violence. When people feel like they're walking with others, that's when they choose life.
No, that's probably the most encouraging thing I think I can pass along is, first of all, politicians are politicians by nature. Their whole mm-hmm. job is to get reelected, right? Yep. So you can say that politicians
got, and you can use it to your advantage.
Yeah. They care about the issues. It's like, hey, there's an election coming, right? And so they have to listen. But the other thing is, things change, and most people just stand on the sidelines and don't make the call and don't make the email, and they have to pay attention to this, right? They have to, because then we can point to it. You've got 10,000 phone calls that said no. Why did you not listen to that? And that will come up. But hey,
it's just vital, in my opinion, vital to remember that even if you're someone who is passionate about this issue, but you just feel like, oh, the politicians in Colorado are just so pro-abortion. The victories in states like this, they do happen, and defeating these type of efforts do happen. And also remember that even if the governor does sign this bill into Colorado law, it is not a constitutional amendment. It is a law, and those are subject to the legislator, and those things can also be changed. So try to work on the governor, and then work on electing legislators that will just repeal this law that opens the door to infanticide.
That's great. The vote was 15-10, so we're not talking like 100-1.
Nope. Five state senators, Jim. I mean, that's nothing. You know what I mean? In the scope, that's a couple thousand devoted people and dedicated minorities. They create majorities, Jim. Remember that. Dedicated minorities create majorities, and they persuasion and boldness and truth affects people.
That's gold. Good. Noah, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for fighting the fight. Thank you for posting what you're posting. And I'm really glad that I saw it, because the response of at least the faith community in Colorado is finally somebody saying something. And and so thank you,
Jim. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
How can people find out more about Live Action and what you do?
Absolutely.
Plug yourself here as we close. All right.
follow us on, you know, we, the Live Action social media team, we have millions of followers on social media, and we create great specific content on things going on in the states and the federal government. But we also just talk about worldview stuff and why caring about the human right to life matters, why the preborn are human. So follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We're even on TikTok now, Twitter, all at Live Action.
All right. And where can we, you mentioned at the top of this, was it called Baby Olivia?
Yeah, search Baby Olivia, Jim. I mean, even maybe link to that in the show notes. It's like, that is just, it's a 3 or 4 minute video, and we put a lot of resources into it. We had the best doctors and the best animators working on this. It will, I mean, it can, especially if you haven't experienced parenthood yet, it can change your life. And if you've experienced parenthood, you're just like, wow, like my baby was once like that. And my daughter is just 7 weeks old. I just came off paternity leave. Yeah. And it was just, it's amazing to, you know, she has the same personality she did when she's in the womb. Like, it's amazing to be with her now, but it was great to be with her when she was with my wife.
All right. Noah, thank you for fighting the fight.
Thank you, Jim.
Great talking to you.
Yep. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.